Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm joined by Rob Milner, who is the chairman of WH Soul Pattinson. Rob, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. It's been a while.
It is great to be back again.
Now, look, there's so much going on at the moment. I really want to sort of pick your brain about some of the things at the front of mind for the market. So this bank instability that we're seeing at the moment, I mean, you've got a bit of grey hair, the way both of us have. You know, it's not the first time that we've seen this sort of stuff, but every iteration tends to be a little bit different. What's your take on the way that everything's panned out in the last couple of weeks?
Well, obviously, we've been through this incredible cycle of virtually no inflation and interest rates at zero. And if someone would have said to me 20 years ago, we'd have that scenario, particularly in Australia, where we've historically had high interest rates. So I think we're at the stage now where a lot of people with virtually cheap money or free money have got themselves into trouble.
Yep.
And this is a worldwide problem. And we're starting to see that now. People can't pay bonds back, et cetera, et cetera.
So does that worry you in terms of like the way that you think of financial institutions as a whole?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we've learned a lot since the GFC, because the investment banks caused the GFC and we've had Credit Suisse go down. So have we learned anything?
It seems like the lessons have been taken on board slowly. But, you know, for example, in the Swiss experience, $17 billion of tier one capital has disappeared. Yeah. We were just talking off camera a moment ago. The second and third order consequences sometimes take a while to emerge, don't they?
Well, that's what happened in the GFC. Bear Stearns went down, and then a few months later, like Lehman Brothers and... But as far as Soul Pattinson goes, we're looking forward to this. We're well cashed up.
Right.
I've been, and Todd Barlow, but we've been thinking this could happen for a while.
Right.
So we're ready for some action if it does happen.
Okay. So when you look at the portfolio, you know, what stands out is the quality of it. You know, you've got top tier ASX listed companies, but then, you know, within that you've got a spread of sectors. You know, the consumer space, there's still a bit of exposure to that. Are you worried about the Australian consumer?
Obviously. Yep. Yeah, obviously, you know, interest rates go up, particularly the younger generation. A lot of them got two or three or four cards that they've got to try and service. We've got things like Afterpay now. So obviously, the higher their interest rates go, the more concern it's got to be for people.
Yep.
And we're seeing, as you said, we're seeing this already through the slowdown in housing. And at Brickworks, for example, we're going pretty well at the moment, but we're ready probably by June or July that things could start to quieten down. They have to. Some of the builders are starting to go broke.
Yeah, so you've said that you expect there's a buffer of a couple of months, but by the end of the year, the activity in the building sector is going to be a bit different to what we're seeing at the moment.
Well, things have been slow because we all went through that experience of not getting labour. Materials were delayed. So they're now coming back.
Yep.
So there's been a bit of flow on of work that's continued on. But we're not looking forward to the sort of middle of the year at this stage. But you look at the shortage of rents. So people have still got to build apartments and houses because the rents have gone through the roof as well.
And immigration's picked up again.
Coming through,
So all right, those fundamentals all click in. So elsewhere, you know, coal prices have seen quite the journey over the course of the last little while. But you know, when you have producers that are able to keep on top of their costs, take advantage of the margins, you know, New Hope really fits the bill in that respect.
Yeah, no, it's been an amazing turnaround. In August 2020, thermal coal was $50 a tonne. Late last year, it got to around $400 a tonne. And this is US dollars I'm talking about. It's still now at about $180.
Yep.
So it's still very attractive. But, you know, the world's still building coal-fired power stations.
Yep.
Australia and New Zealand are about the only two countries in the world, apart from smaller places like Singapore, that aren't building coal-fired power stations. So the demand for coal is going to be there for some time.
And in terms of the way the prices have come back as aggressively, what's your gut feel telling you? Have they begun to bottom out? Is the Chinese story going to start playing a part in the recovery there?
There was a lot of stockpile into the Northern Hemisphere for the last winter, obviously with what happened in Ukraine, etc. And it was a reasonably mild winter, so there's still a bit of stockpile coal around. But When it was at 400, it was too high because, you know, for example, the Japanese power utilities was, you know, were going broke paying for that sort of.
Yep.
So we're coming back now to around that 200 US,
yep,
where everybody makes a nice little dividend out of it.
Yep. So it's sustainable these levels.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is your holding of Macquarie. It's one of your most significant holdings.
Yeah.
High quality company. Yeah, yeah. It's proven itself through many cycles. In terms of this chapter that we're heading into with financial instability globally, how do you sort of put Macquarie into that universe?
Well, it's called Macquarie Bank, but it's banking is a small part of its business. You know, its funds management business and its all the different deals it does around the world. And it's got a lot of investments in its new renewables, etc. They're to me, they're pretty bulletproof.
Given what's going on with banks at the moment,
the
trend that we're seeing in the Northern Hemisphere is for the financials to sell off at present. How do you see this situation resolving itself?
Well, if I go back to the GFC, I can remember paying $27 for Commonwealth Bank. I think Macquarie got to 14 or 15.
Yep.
So, as I said, souls are waiting. We've got cash.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of money in the system. So if there's a bit of a shakeout, I can't see Commonwealth Bank coming back to 27 again. But if they come back to $75 or $80, it'd be a very attractive investment. And same with Macquarie. They came back to 150 again.
So I suppose the thing to point out to the average viewer is that the experience for Australian banks is vastly different compared to what we've seen in Northern.
Fortunately, in Australia, we've got a very, very sound banking. And this particular bank where I'm in at the moment is probably one of the strongest banks in the world. So we're very lucky here that we've had a good regulated banking industry.
Now, for shareholders in Soul Patts, you have front of mind as one of your priorities to look after them in terms of dividend payments and quite a solid pickup in the dividend in the last half. Just talk a little bit about why that's so important to you as an organisation.
Well, I think as I've probably mentioned to you before, Soul Patts has never ever missed paying a dividend since 1903, and we're the only company since the GFC that's been able to increase our dividend each half. We're very, very focused on cash generating businesses, and this is why we've always been able to increase our dividend. We've got excellent people in our organisation that are able to pick some of these investments for us. And we've just digressed away from our three major investments into things like agriculture and structured yield, and we're putting quite a bit of money into swim schools, these sorts of things. So we're actually diversifying quite a bit, and they're all good cash generating businesses.
Rob, unfortunately we're out of time and it goes quickly, but it really is a privilege to talk to you and get your insights given what's going on at the moment. So I'm really grateful for your time today.
Always good to talk to you, Tom. Cheers.
Thanks. And thanks very much for joining us for the Executive Series.